We'll begin with a prayer. Lord Jesus, again we thank you for allowing us to meditate upon a precious portion of Scripture which your Holy Spirit has given us. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will strengthen our faith in you as we grow in grace and knowledge and increase our love for you. And pray that your Holy Spirit will cause this word to become engrafted to save our souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us via the speakerphones, which this morning is virtually our whole congregations, and those who will be receiving CDs of the sermons in the coming weeks. A service this morning is coming from our home here on the outskirts of beautiful Coon Valley, Wisconsin, where it was a very pleasant 19.7 degrees below zero this morning, and we're having a real cold winter here in Wisconsin, but it is beautiful, a lot of snow and a lot of beauty that we can be blessed with. I'd like you to open your Bibles with us here at Water of Life to Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to be looking at the second part of verse 7. I'm going to read the whole verse at this point, which is talking about Christ in his office as great high priest. So the text, Hebrews 5, verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death, was heard in that he feared. The words we're going to be looking at this morning are these: when he had offered up prayers and supplications. So the prayers and supplications that Jesus gave were offered up, which is an act of worship. This is a priestly act, then, that we're talking about here in Hebrews 5, verse 7. And it portrays Christ here as the great high priest. As well, then, as being a man of sorrows, he was also a man of prayer. Luke 6, verse 12 comes to mind. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Now, following in the footsteps of our Savior, then, prayer is an important thing for every single child of God. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And James informs us, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's James 5, verse 16. When it comes to prayer, though, every single one of us has a serious problem. And the problem is this: we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Nevertheless, we're not helpless in this matter of prayer. And here's where the Holy Spirit enters the picture. Our whole situation really is summed up in Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now, one of the ways in which the Holy Spirit helpeth our infirmities is by giving us prayers in Scripture that come directly from Him. And there is no better place for us to start. We can't go wrong if we're praying the very words which the Holy Spirit gives us. And prayer is really a two-way street. It's not only us speaking to God, but even more important, God speaking to us. And I believe the greatest form of prayer is a prayerful study of His Word. We're going to have the sermon this morning is going to be a little bit different from normal. What I'm going to do is look at different prayers in Scripture. Again, just scratching the surface because there are many of them. But looking at different prayers in Scripture, looking a little bit about what we can learn from them, and then encouraging all of us to pray the prayers that the Holy Spirit gives us before we rather launch off on our own, as it were. First of all, some honorable mentions here. I am not a fan of long prayers, but there are times when long prayers are important and needful. One of the longest prayers in the Bible is Solomon's dedication prayer at the dedication of the temple. It's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 14 to 22, which I am not going to read, but I wanted to mention it. The key prayer for all of us would be what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 11. It should really probably be called the disciples' prayer, because this is how it came to pass in Luke 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And then Jesus gave them the Lord's Prayer, which, by the way, is taken almost directly, the thoughts are, from Solomon's dedication prayer at the temple in 2 Chronicles 6. The real Lord's Prayer is perhaps the most precious chapter in the whole Bible. It's John 17. This is the real Lord's Prayer. It's called the Lord's High Priestly Prayer. It's the prayer he prayed the very night he was betrayed, and right before he went out to Gethsemane. And the Holy Spirit, as it were, has drawn back the curtain of the Holy of Holies and allowed us to walk in and listen to the very prayer that Jesus Christ prayed to his Father before he offered himself up on the cross. You will not find a more blessed section in all Scripture. It's in John 17. Now moving on to a few other prayers, prayers that have become a favorite of mine, and I know you have some that you have also. And again, we're only scratching the surface. Now, Exhibit A for me would be Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. You have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all mentioned here, and the prayer is unspeakably blessed. The words are these, which the Holy Spirit gives us. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, there's the Holy Spirit, in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And when we're praying, we pray for our own hearts, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Looking for just a second at verse 20. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God told us that he was able to do everything that we ask or think? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, he's told us that. But it gets better than that. Let's work backwards. Unto him who is able to do all that we ask or think, or what we that we ask or think, then all that we ask or think, then working back from that, above all that we ask or think. And then back one word from that, abundantly above all that we ask or think. And then one word back from that, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. It boggles the mind. It boggles the mind. One of the most precious prayers we have, and you find many of these prayers in the Psalms, is Psalm 51. It's the sort of prayer that we have when, as David was told, "Thou art the man." And you know the story of that one. Have mercy. I'm only going to read the first 12 verses. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before thee, before me, rather. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. This evil in thy sight was the adultery he committed with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband. That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. This is the doctrine of the fall of man. The desperate situation that we're in. The natural depravity of man by human nature. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. See how God can take even a sin and bring blessing and good from it. We have these precious words because of the sin of David. 2 Chronicles 20, verses 5 through 13. A prayer that we can use when we have hit rock bottom and are starting to dig. Context, first three verses. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came up against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be Hazaron Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared. He was afraid. There's nothing wrong with being afraid if you know where to go for help. Jehoshaphat knew. 2 Chronicles 20, now beginning at verse 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest thou not over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" Appealing first of all to the almighty power of God, which is not a bad place to start. Isn't it true, God, that you're in heaven and you rule over all the kingdoms of the earth, even the heathen. Isn't that true? Then in verse 7, art thou not our God? Not only don't you have the power, but don't you use it for us? And you used to do that. You did it. You've done it already before. Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and give it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? Didn't you do that? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, if we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and if we cry unto thee in our affliction, then wilt thou not hear and help? Appealing to the blessings that they've had in the past and looking for more in the present. And now the problem. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. You told your people not to attack them, and they didn't do that. And now I say, look, behold how they reward us, to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O God, wilt thou not judge them? And now this, for we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. There are times when we're in that situation. The enemy is stronger than we are, and we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And then the whole picture, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. It was a family situation. There was great danger involved. There was a very, very powerful humanly speaking, heathen army ready to come in and take them captive and put them to death. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. One of the most precious prayers in all Scripture. Psalm 142, a prayer when, again, we're in desperate straits. So many of the prayers in the Psalms are when we're in trouble. Psalm 142, I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him, I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. I was so depressed, I didn't know what to do, where to go, but you knew my path. Continuing, the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Nobody cared. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Then one of the shortest prayers in the Bible, Matthew 15:25, 3 words. Lord, help me. Context. Woman of Canaan had a daughter who was grievously vexed with the devil. She came to Jesus to plead for help, but he answered her not a word. He started walking away. She started following him and crying after him. the disciples, Lord, send her away, she crieth after us. Then he said to the disciples, still not even talking to her, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she was not of the house of Israel, she was a Canaanite. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Then he spoke to her, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. She answered, truth, Lord, yet the dogs sit at the master and under the master's table and take the crumbs that fall from the table. In other words, yeah, I'm a dog, but I just want a crumb. Just a crumb. Lord, help me. O woman, great is thy faith. She got the help that she pleaded for. The prayer of a person who has what we could call a flawed faith. Mark 9, beginning at verse 14, to get the context. When he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed. And running to him, saluted him. The reason they were amazed is because he had just been transfigured on top of the mount and his body was still glowing. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever it taketh him, it teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy children, or thy disciples rather, that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered them and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he, Jesus, asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Now listen to this. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If. Jesus fired an if right back at him. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And then comes the prayer. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. He had a faith, but it was a wavering faith. So often the way your faith and mine is. And so the prayer in that situation, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. A very curious mixture of faith and unbelief. But we often have it. And Christ would answer that prayer too. So different from the leper that came to Jesus and said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Not if you can, but if you want to. I know you can do it. It's just if it is your will. One more example, and then I know you have so many more. John 11, verse 3, the one whom Jesus loved. Lazarus was sick and dying. The context of it is in the opening chapters of John 11. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother was sick. It was also the same Mary that Luke tells us about in Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 39. Now it came to pass as they went, that he went entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. This was the Mary that had anointed the Lord with ointment, and no sooner did she did that, has she done that, than the disciples turned on her. To what purpose is this waste? The ointment could have been much sold for much, and the money given to the poor. And then Jesus said, leave her alone. She hath done what she could. For my burial she hath anointed me. That's the Mary whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, now here's the prayer. Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. I believe this is a model prayer, and I believe that Mary is the one that gave it. You see very deep spiritual insight here. They didn't send to Jesus and say, Lord, the one who loves you is sick. Which would have been true enough. Lazarus did love the Lord. But whoever wrote this prayer, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and I'm sure it was Mary, did not want to appeal to Christ on the love that her brother had for the Savior. Nor should we. We appeal on the basis of the love that he has for us. Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. She doesn't tell what remedy she wants. She just presents the problem to Christ and lets him deal with it as he will. The same as you and I do in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And there's nothing wrong with being specific sometimes, as long as we always throw back on this, that Lord, if it is thy will, let it be done. If it's not, then we drink the cup that our Father has given us. But the safety net is always the will of God, which is always right. He's always right in what he gives us. We always need what he gives us. We're always blessed in what he gives us, even though we sometimes can't see it at the time. But Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. I'm going to close on that note. You know, we could go on and on and on here because there are so many prayers that are directly from the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And even though, yes, it's true that we know not how to pray for as we ought, and it's also true, blessedly true, that the greatest blessing you and I have is that the Holy Spirit is praying for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. But going down a step lower than that, we still should be praying, and we're not left destitute. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities by giving us prayers that come directly from him. And thank God he has done this, and let's make use of them. We'll close with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we thank you for giving us this tremendous comfort that even though we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, every second of our existence, You yourself are praying to the Father for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And we thank you also that in our infirmities and weaknesses, you have given us prayers that also come directly from you that we can utter. And we pray that as we meditate upon Scripture, you will reveal these prayers more and more to us and enable us to use these prayers, knowing that when we pray the prayers and the words that you have given us, they are always perfect prayers and are prayed according to the will of our Heavenly Father. Now we pray now the prayer that our Savior has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all. We'll close by singing hymn number 97 in the Lutheran hymnal.